On July 11, 1988, Dr. Claudia Osborne and her best friend and roommate, Dr. Marcia Baker, decided to take an after-dinner bike ride around their Detroit neighborhood. As they rode up a side street leading to their house, a car rounded the corner too fast and too wide and came directly toward them. Marcia was able to get herself over the curb and onto the grass. The grill of the car struck Claudia's bike full force, catapulting her over its roof and into the air. It was an accident Marcia would never forget, and one Claudia would never remember. Dr. Claudia Osborne suffered severe head injury. She has written about the experience and her rehabilitation in a new book called Over My Head. 7 years have been spent writing this book, and Dr. Osborne joins us from the studios of WDET in Detroit. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You actually were not aware of how much you had been injured. Indeed, once you recovered from your physical injuries, you went back to work.
Well, that's true. You know, it's it is the norm with head injury not to be aware of what is wrong, because after all, it's your brain which normally would analyze and tell you what is going on. So about a month after my injury, I did make the attempt to return to my job. Of course, it was very unsuccessful, but I tried.
Tell us how it was you knew that you weren't able to do your job.
What happened was, I didn't read an x-ray that was absolutely crucial after allowing one of my house staffs, an intern, to do a procedure on a patient. When I was made aware that I hadn't read that x-ray, that was something I wouldn't do, just like I wouldn't walk out of the house naked. And that was a shock for me. It was a wake-up call that said, gee, there might be something going on here. I need to go see a neurologist.
Can you tell us exactly what the nature is of your head injury, your brain injury?
Sure. What happens in a closed head injury is all of those connectors, all of those neurons get stretched and torn, and it disrupts the communication of the brain. And so there's damage, in my case, a lot to the frontal, temporal, and parietal lobes and of the brain, and that affects not only individual functions like memory and behavior, but also the ability to communicate. So the brain's ability to think becomes greatly slowed, and the pathways that you used to use are lost. It's like having the bridge out, and so you always have to take a detour. So instead of doing something automatically, you have to break down the task into mechanical, simple steps to do it.
You enrolled at the Head Trauma Program at New York University's Rusk Institute, and that was both good news and bad news for you, because you said sometimes only when you're thrown a life jacket that you grasp the horrific truth that your ship is sinking. But
and it really, you know, felt very much that way. Once you realize that, gee, you have a problem, you are desperate for a wonderful facility to help you with that problem, but you're also horrified to realize that you might actually need their level of help.
You needed help in just getting through the day, right? Explain what it was like. I mean, the fact that, you sometimes wouldn't even remember if you had put your clothes on properly.
Well, that's correct. You know, with a head injury, frequently all of the things that people traditionally do automatically become very mechanical. So I would find that I would wash my hair over and over again, not knowing if I had started the procedure or was just finishing the rinsing. I would have a great deal of trouble with the act of dressing, remembering to eat, following through any piece of pattern. So there was nothing that I individually could accomplish.
Tell us what happened when you were in the program and you reached into your pocket and you found what you thought was a tissue.
Well, that was one of the early days in the program. And when I dressed, I frequently forgot different pieces of my dressing. And my bra was something I tended to forget to put on. And so sometimes I would shove it in my pocket in terms of, you know, you're overtired and you think, well, I'll just put that on later, as if that makes any sense. And so I arrived at rehab that day and needed a tissue, reached in my pocket and pulled out what I thought was a tissue. Of course, it was my bra. Tried to quickly stuff it back into my pocket, but it had caught on my watch band, and so it kept coming back out again.
I must say I am surprised by the level of humor in this book.
Yes. Well, you know, head injury is really very funny. And once you begin to appreciate the humor, it makes life much easier. And I think it's absolutely crucial as a survival tool that you and your family and the people who work with you have quite a sense of humor, because otherwise you are angry and devastated and you take the errors that you make too seriously. But it is funny when you throw the laundry down the trash chute. It is funny when you interact with people and are pretending a little too much, and so the conversation gets way out of hand. Those things really have a humorous bend, and I think it's something we all need to appreciate more.
You were also what you describe as, is it adynamic?
Yeah, that's correct. And what it means is that we appear to be sort of the ultimate couch potato. Our voice is monotone. Our face is sort of wooden. We don't spontaneously act or initiate or start conversation or start an action. Makes us rather dull. And it's a real difficulty because it obviously impacts a great deal on your social interactions and your family's joy in dealing with you. And I fortunately have some incredibly loyal friends and a wonderful family. And so I was more fortunate than most head injured individuals in that people stayed with me through the long haul and fought to get me to work on the strategies, because you can't fix adynamia, but you can learn strategies so that you learn how to modulate your voice, how to remember to make facial expression, how to raise your energy level up to a point where you can ask yourself questions and interact. And people make the assumption that the person is lazy or lacks motivation, where they have no way to start up.
Hmm. There were also strategies that you were given to help you just get through the daily business of living.
Absolutely essential. In terms of dressing, I use a file card system so that when I'm going to teach, I just pull out the next card and wear exactly what it says on that card and then put that card at the back so that the next time I'll wear different clothing. To drive somewhere, I use an alarm that goes off every 3 minutes. When that alarm goes off, I say to myself, where is it I'm going? And I look at the note on the dash that tells me, and am I still on the same route?
How did you deal with the news that you would not be the same self that you were? I mean, it must have been devastating. It must have depressed you.
It was horribly devastating. It was about a year after the injury before I finally heard the message and actually got it, that there actually was permanent injury that we weren't fixing. Because in head injury, you don't fix the problems. You can't splint the brain like you do a broken leg. And when I finally got that message, I was very devastated. But you aren't ever going to be the person you were again. And what it requires then is learning to come to know, like, and appreciate the new person you've become, make that person grow and change as best you can through the use of strategies, and build new dreams from which to expand your life rather than looking back at the old dreams, which are no longer of value.
And you do have a productive life now. You teach medical students. You're still a doctor.
Yes, I have a wonderful life, and fortunately I have gone back to teaching. It's, of course, it's a radically different life. And I think on the surface, it's important that people not have false hopes for what's going to happen in terms of those changes. You know, though I've created a life that's very happy, it is radically different. The kind of teaching I do is very rote teaching of how to do a physical, how to take a history, things that I know very well. And that's it's in a very different mode and requires very different kinds of things. My role has changed dramatically. And that's important when one's building that new life, to measure oneself by a very different yardstick.
Claudia Osborne. Her book is called Over My Head, A Doctor's Own Story of Head Injury from the Inside Looking Out. Dr. Osborne joined us from the studios of WDET in Detroit. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thank you very much for having me.